You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this tax day, 2021. Although it's not tax day this year, is it?
No, they've given an extension.
You get the idea, though.
Yeah.
What was I going to rush to finish for?
May 17th, I think.
Well, that's nice to know.
Mine's in.
Well, we always do it very early, but there was a couple of things in the air, and I rushed.
You got time.
And no, I got it done.
Well, we'll start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
The dog's peeing on my leg.
We will see you in March, good friend. We'll say good evening to Don.
And if I could jump in this threesome here.
Possibly also see you in March.
It's been such a fertile month.
And good evening to Michael again.
His urine is warm. That's what it is. Wait.
Can we hear the first Michael again? Because that was something, I think.
The dog's peeing on my leg.
It's Harlan and Jace.
It did sound like Harlan, yep.
There's a very good possibility that if your urine is cold, it's your last one.
You know what, Don? It's one of the best points you've ever made.
Beer is every place.
So if butter does have a cold pee, better take him to the vet because that might be it.
Yeah, cold pee is not what you want. Then again, when you find it, warm pee doesn't ever feel like what you want either. So we've talked a lot about the Nets today, and so one of the stories we haven't spent as much time on is LaMarcus Aldridge retiring due to a health scare. The other night against the Lakers, he felt his breathing and heartbeat was strange. And the irregular heartbeat really freaked him out. And things got worse, and he went to the hospital the next day, and he has decided to call it quits. He signed with the Nets in late March. He played in 5 games. Of course, spent the first 9 years of his career with the Trailblazers, had a great career. Here's Dame Lillard, who was on Jalen and Jacoby, talking about LaMarcus Aldridge's retirement.
I was shocked, you know, to see it. I just saw it on Twitter literally as I was setting this up, and you know, I immediately reached out to him. You know, he's had a great career, and you know, obviously my first 3 years in the league, and we had a, you know, a really good run together, but to, you know, health is always first. You know, he has 2 boys, and he has to make sure that he's healthy, you know, and around for the long haul to be there for them and for his family. So you know, hopefully he is healthy, and hopefully, you know, things will work out for the best.
But yeah, great career for Aldridge, and I think he, of course, had a championship in his mind this season, but he won't get the chance to pursue it, as he calls it, quits. But that seems like the right decision.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you've had such a great career. Something with your heart, as Michael said earlier on the show, it's not like we've never seen anyone, you know, suffer from a heart issue in basketball and not lose their life before. It has happened. He averaged 19 points and 8 rebounds as a pro. As I just said, started out and spent the first 9 years in Portland, and then, of course, was a big contributor over the next 6 years in San Antonio before spending some time in Brooklyn and calling it a career.
Got to listen to your body, right?
Yeah,
you get one go around this crazy place,
especially when it's something with your heart. I mean,
yeah,
No one should be messing around with that. We'll stay here on the Nets for a moment because we have talked about them throughout the day, but we've only played this one several hours ago. Here's Steve Nash in the pregame last night talking about prioritizing health over the top seed.
I think health is everything. You know, I mean, it'd be great to have the number one seed. I think it means a lot. It's valuable, but not at the expense of losing players or prolonging our injury situation. So I think we have to be very careful and make sure that our guys get to the finish line as whole as possible.
And I agree with him, but don't play Durant against Minnesota. Play Blake Griffin against Minnesota. Instead, he played both of them against Minnesota. And since they're both not allowed to play back-to-back, they both missed the game that was good for first place in the Eastern Conference. It's a joke. We've done 4 hours of it. It's a joke.
I mean, so hold on. Is it possible, though, that this was just really poor planning by Steve Nash?
No, I think they wanted to avoid. They wanted to get the easy win against Minnesota, and they don't care about it. I think it was pre-planned. This is when he's going to play. And this is when he's not going to play. And they didn't care that it was against the Sixers. And maybe they don't want him to play against the Sixers. I would think that Kevin Durant, who knows how great he is, he's one of the greatest players who've ever lived, would want to be tested against the Sixers. But doesn't seem like that was important.
And again, you could play the middle where he plays a handful of minutes against Minnesota and maybe he doesn't go full bore against Philadelphia. You know, if the game's out of hand or you're feeling something, all right, maybe he only plays, you know, 20, 25 minutes or something. You give it a try, because if you're going to treat him like a China doll here in mid-April, well, are we convinced that in 6 weeks when they're going to have a best of seven with Philadelphia that he's going to be a go for all seven games?
I hope that's what they're building up for. Because there are no back-to-back games in the playoffs.
No.
Let's move on.
Shall we?
Yeah, we should. The Knicks, on the other hand, are playing some very good basketball.
You delightful. Guys
wanna hear, you want to hear from Julius Randle, who talked
not
about
really.
Just
we've
how...
Heard from, no, we've heard.
So you don't want to hear from Julius Randle?
I do.
Here's Randle on how resilient a group this Knicks bunch is.
Just a resilient group. That's who we've been all year. You know, just battling through adversity, whatever the season throws at us, injuries, you know, tough schedule, road trip, whatever it is, we find a way to fight through all year. That's who we've been.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can I make a comment that people aren't going to like?
Love Go ahead.
So we always laud Nick fans for how they really know the game and, you know, how loyal they are, which is true. Well, what do they chant in MVP when he's at the foul line?
Oh, my, Michael.
Come on. He's had a really good year. He's not the MVP of the league.
But now you're being Captain Little.
I'm sorry. That's... You're embarrassing yourself. Oh my God. You're telling me he's had a better year than Joel Embiid.
But he's the...
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Captain Literal Man.
Well, I don't know what you guys want me to do. You're going to disparage me. They chant MVP when he's at the line. What are they saying it for?
I mean, listen.
But do you realize they will chant something negative about the opposition? Like, let's say they got a Lakers suck chant at the Garden. Are you going to say, oh, you can't do that because they don't?
They clearly don't suck.
They got LeBron James. Come on. Let them chant what they want to chant. That's their MVP. They love the guy. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to break down the chants on whether or not they're accurate.
It's not accurate.
And listen, is he better than Joel Embiid? No, he's not. However, 23 points, almost 11 rebounds, and 6 assists a game.
It's not a ridiculous
claim.
Oh, it's Peter, a ridiculous claim. He's not the MVP of the league.
Even if it's ridiculous, you're still allowed to do it at the Garden, full building, Rangers, Capitals, right? With 8 minutes remaining. They always do this every period, Peter. With 8 minutes remaining, they chant Ovi sucks because Ovechkin's eight.
Well, Michael would fight that because he'd say you can't yell that because he doesn't suck.
Right. But no, you don't. No, you just do it. Nobody's asking for accuracy. It's just to get everybody unified. They love the guy. They chant MVP.
When you're ripping the opposition, you don't have to be truthful, but you're chanting he's MVP. He's not the MVP. Hey,
I have a question.
NBA.
Is he the MVP of the Knicks?
Let me ask you this.
There you go.
Did Paul O'Neill fight in a war? Did he go to battle?
Nobody ever chanted.
Did he ever have a spear in
nobody,
his hand or a machine gun or an axe and went at it with them?
Fans didn't chant warrior. They didn't do it. He was called that by George. The fans chanted Paul O'Neill. You know what? He was Paul O'Neill.
But he.
It's a tough
He's not the warrior.
They didn't chant warrior.
You know what? Guidry wasn't a Gator.
They didn't chant Gator.
How do you know?
Because I was there when he pitched.
So it's okay. So don't chant it, but it's okay to get a nickname. He's the Gator.
You're being Captain Literal Man. I'm not. The Knicks fans are supposed to be very savvy basketball fans, and although this guy's an all-star, he's not the MVP of the league.
But he's their MVP.
Okay, let's move on. You guys are jerks.
I don't know. Channing, he may be an MVP one day. That doesn't have the same meaning.
It doesn't ring the same way. One person who was a bona fide MVP.
Can I say one thing that Andrew told? I'm going to bring something to the air that Andrew said yesterday, and it's so right. So Don disagreed with me about something we said at the about Anthony Edwards not knowing who A-Rod was, and Don argued. And so right before I disconnected, Andrew said, Don's like the guy who loves basketball, and he sees a game at a park, and he wants to play. This was an opportunity for him to disagree and argue a point. He walked into the park and played. He didn't believe that Anthony Edwards shouldn't know who A-Rod was.
No,
he just wanted to fight.
Hey, I saw a Deadspin article today that this is an example on how baseball has dropped the ball promoting it in the African-American community. It is something. I think it's something that's realistic that he wouldn't know who Alex Rodriguez is.
Well,
listen, I fight because I have – here's my – You want to know what my problem is? The weight that is on me every day is that I can't help but have an opinion on everything and own every opinion.
But, Michael, you're now doing the exact same thing you're accusing Don of with
that?
This Julius Randle conversation. You don't need to argue this. You could completely lay out and let Knicks fans chant MVP.
Listen.
But you're just like Don.
Why don't they chant
And you
got to
argue.
He is an all-star. Why do you have to amplify to MVP? He's not the MVP. He's an all-star. He's had a great year.
But you're not going to chant all-star. He's already the all-star. He's their MVP.
And
you're
also
arguing to argue.
One other thing. The guy who should be embarrassed that Anthony Edwards didn't know who A-Rod was is the commissioner of baseball. Which is along the lines of what Don just said. This is the voice of your sport on Fox and on ESPN, and the sport has not promoted him enough that Anthony Edwards, a 20-year-old kid into sports, has no idea who A-Rod is. It's unbelievable. Somebody's dropping the ball somewhere. It's unbelievable.
Because if he doesn't know who A-Rod is, let me tell you what. He doesn't know who Mike Trout is.
Exactly. He has no idea who Mike Trout is. None.
Or Mookie Betts. One person who we would agree everyone, even Anthony Edwards, has heard of is Michael Jordan. And now we have learned that Michael Jordan will be the presenter for Kobe Bryant's Hall of Fame induction. Jordan spoke at the memorial service last January, and you guys remember it was really surprisingly good and touching and personal. And Jordan will also introduce the Baylor women's coach, Kim Mulkey, as well, making him the only Basketball Hall of Famer presenting multiple candidates at this year's Naismith induction ceremony.
I really hope that he's better as a presenter than he was as an acceptor. He had one of the worst speeches of all time when he got into the hall.
Yeah, no, if he starts
nasty,
ripping people.
Vindictive, ripping people. I mean, really?
But I was thinking about it. There's no one better to induct Kobe, right?
Well, when you consider the relationship he had with some of his Lakers, I guess Shaq or Phil Jackson wouldn't work.
So you could go with a younger player who admired him, right?
But won't play every game.
Right. You could go with like a Kyrie, you know, someone who really admires him and wanted to be like him. But Jordan was his hero. I mean, I don't know if we've ever – that's a great question. Here we go, Don. Get your brain going, okay?
Yes.
Has there ever been an all-time great player who more clearly emulated another all-time great player than Kobe does in his game with Jordan's?
I mean, he even sounded like him, right?
I mean, it's everything. I would say Sid emulates Mario a lot. There's a lot of it, but it's not. He doesn't look physically the exact same way.
I mean, they're both very soft-spoken, but I don't see Mario at all when I see Sid. I mean, I guess the hope would be if Daniel Jones turns out to be very good, right?
Then that would feel very similar.
Then that would feel as, but I really don't know.
Michael, what about in baseball?
Not really. I mean, so many people grew up loving Jeter, but they don't have the same game.
I mean, when you see those back-to-backs, those side-to-sides, I should say, of Kobe doing the same things Jordan did, it's crazy. It's freakish.
Peter, I really wish I had the guts to take the text conversation that Michael's having with our PD right now to the air. Very entertaining stuff going on. Wow. Let's just say Ryan really disagrees with Michael's take on the MVP chant.
And then Michael's reaction. If anyone knew where Michael
My goodness.
Went every time there's an argument. I mean, we'll just say that we've said this part on the show before. Michael is the guy who, if you're married, you can relate to this. Hey, honey, can you take out the trash? You know what? Let's just get a divorce. Well, I just asked you to take out the trash. All right, enough is enough. I'll take out the trash, and I'm never coming back.
Listen, I've been at this too long for somebody to disagree with a take, so I just said, if you disagree with it, I think you should take me off the air. I'm done.
But I mean, love that's his close to every argument at this radio station.
You know what?
Maybe I should just
I want to see if anybody has the cunones to do it. Get rid of me. If I'm not good, I'm making takes.
20 years
like.
On
Get
this show,
rid
right?
Of me.
Oh, going on 20 years.
I'll walk away.
Transmitter to the radio station. Just imagine the Andrew Marchand article on the reason that Michael left.
You know what? I'd give Andrew an exclusive interview and tell him.
Because Ryan took exception to your MVP chant.
You know what I'd like to know? I mean, you've been in the business a long time, Don.
Oh, sure.
So let's say the Hall of Famer, the great Mike Francesa, had a take on something, and his PD said, I don't agree with that. What do you think Mike would say? Would it be more graphic than what I said?
Well, somebody would be exiting the station. It wouldn't be him.
It wouldn't be him, right?
Right.
So I'm saying, I like that, the station. That's... I'm bigger than that. Go ahead, let me go. You don't like what I said, let me go.
So you want people to treat you like a deity. You don't want to be treated like a friend, like a compadre. Test you, you go, you know what, I'll walk. I'm sorry, Michael, you've made your bed. You're a nice guy. This is what you have to deal with now. If you wanted to be someone who no one was allowed to look at, you had to set that precedent a long time ago.
No, I'll take my ball and go home.
Wow.
Let's see how the station is. I'm right. If you don't like my take, I can go.
Again, I love Peter. Don't get me wrong. I admire his stance on this. All right? And there's been a lot of times that I would follow him right out the door.
But
on this particular argument of them chanting MVP at the Garden does not seem like a great exit strategy for Michael after two decades at the station.
I mean, it's a napalm, just absolute unleashing for something that seemed very minute. So the Washington football team.
And if they let me go, Peter, still Summer of K exists. I'll still call you to go out. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I can't wait. Good. The Washington football team sent out a letter to fans. Keeping everyone in the loop on the decision of what the new name will be. They said there's an ongoing, iterative process. Michael, what's iterative mean?
I'm not sure. I don't think you're pronouncing it right, too.
Iterative.
Let me look that up.
Iterative.
Keep going.
We've used focus groups, stakeholder interviews, large-scale surveys, and other qualitative and quantitative approaches to understand what fans want and what types of names resonate with our fans. To that end, we want to ask all of you for your input on what kinds of names are most meaningful to you, which concepts represent what you love about this organization and what it means to you.
Iterative, relating to or involving iteration, especially of a mathematical or computational process.
Well, Jason Wright, that is a strong word to use in this letter. A lot of respect for your Washington football fans. So, and then they sent a list of names. Would you guys like the list of names that was sent?
Yes, please. Desperately. Oh, yeah.
Alphabetical order, Washington football names. You guys decide whether you'd consider it or instantly out, okay?
Okay.
The Aces.
Blah. No.
Ambassadors.
No.
Anchors.
No.
Archers.
No.
Armada.
No.
No.
Aviators.
No.
Beacons.
No.
Belters.
No.
I like aviators. Everybody Belters comes with, they wear Ray-Bans.
Brigade.
Not no. bad.
Not bad?
Brigade's not bad.
Don?
No.
Commanders.
No.
Defenders.
Not yeah. bad.
You like it, Michael?
Yeah, but then they could never have really an offensive-minded team.
Demon Cats.
No.
First City Football Club.
No, that's
Washington, D.C. is the first city?
Who knows? No, it's definitely not. Griffins.
Oh, and our listener could be their, you know, could be their mascot. Do we have a Griffin cut, Anthony?
Instead of HTTR, they could just play this instead. Fly, let you fly!
Let your wings fly. Let you fly.
Oh, nobody's can you win. Imagine a team being whipped into a frenzy with that?
The Guardians.
No.
Icons.
No.
Monarchs.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I'll skip ahead. The Presidents, the Razorbacks, the Red Tails, the Red Wolves, the Red Hogs, the Renegades, the Riders, the Rising, the Royals, the Rubies. The Warriors, of course, is there. It's a mess.
No, this is a very poor effort. Red Tails, it should be.
Red Tails is very good.
Yeah.
But I want to close out today, guys, by saying that on this day, all the way back in 1985, this happened.
Might be the greatest round in boxing history.
Yeah.
Hagler wins the fight, the war. That's right, this day in 1985 against Tommy Hearns. That'll do it for ENN. Rest in peace, Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
And we mentioned earlier, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in baseball on this date in 1947. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See everybody, Rangers hockey coming up next.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.